Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Well, good morning. Happy New Year. Good to start with a bit of a bounce, isn't it? How many of you have eaten a little bit too much this week? You sinners, repent. No. Oh, it's been nice just to relax, isn't it, for a few days? But this is the first day of the rest of our lives. How many of you want every day of this year to count for something? Can count for something eternal in terms of God's kingdom purposes. Here's a question for you. How big is your God? How big is he going to be this year in your life? Now, there's three stories we want to look at in the Bible just to show, have a look at the nature and the character of God this year. But I just want to pick up a little bit. You know, a couple of weeks ago on the carol service, we looked at some things on the screen. Jane gave me a book for Christmas called Indescribable. Anybody got that? It's a book by Louis Giglio and Matt Redman, and it's really looking at the universe, our galaxy. It's just, it's incredible in terms of, if you're into astronomy, you'll love it. And but it, they're threaded through the whole book is who God is as the creator, how magnificent, how powerful. And just some of the things in there, I was sitting there the other morning just reading it when I got up. And I sat there and I was just flicking through some of the pages, reading some of the things that are in there. And I felt about that big. I mean, I felt absolutely minuscule. I sat there and I looked at my hands. And in the context of what I was reading, and you know, we have a galaxy, but they reckon there's between 100 and 200 billion galaxies out there. And within each galaxy, there are hundreds of billions of stars in each galaxy. And the Bible talks about God breathing out stars. And I sat there the other morning just flicking through this book, reading some of it, and I literally felt minuscule sitting there reading about this creator God who is on the inside of me, on the inside of you, on the inside of us. And just want to, before we look at these three stories, just pick out one or two things from this book. The Earth, we are 93 million miles away from the sun. And I don't know how long it takes to fly there in a plane, but we're 93 million miles away. And it says in this book that if you heated the, can you see that? It's a kind of needle or a pin. Can you see that? Especially at the back, the slightly older people. You can see that, can't you? Yep. And it says in there that if you heated the tip of a needle to how hot the sun is at the centre, you wouldn't be able to get within 1,000 miles of it, you know, of this pin without dying, because it'd be so hot. So if the end of that pin was the hot, as hot as the sun is, you wouldn't be able to get within 1,000 miles of it without end of your days or whatever. Now, it says in there that you can get nearly 1 million Earths inside the sun. So if that's the sun, this golf ball here, if that's the sun and the Earth was the tip of that needle, that's kind of like about 1 million times the tip of that needle it would take you to fill this sun with the amount of Earths that there are. And then it kind of carries on. And when you read about the sun and how powerful it is, how hot it is, and what the sun does, and you think, well, that's the star in our galaxy that everything is spinning around. But actually, in terms of when you go out beyond our galaxy, the sun becomes minuscule in the next planet. So over here with me this morning, I have one of these. You will not see me use it, but go on then, go on. Okay. Now, if the next biggest star that they've kind of come across in another galaxy called Betelgeuse, haven't you heard of that one? Betelgeuse, Betelgeuse. Now, what they're saying is, if you then took the sun, which you can fit nearly 1 million Earths into, and then you took the sun, and the sun was, you know, the size of a pinhead, that would be the size of the next planet. Betelgeuse. So you've got the sun now. So the earth has disappeared. You can't even see the earth. And here's the sun on the tip of that needle. And that's the size of the sun compared to the next planet that is out there. It's incredible, isn't it? And yet God has breathed them. He created them. And he's saying that stars are being created out there. They can see stars are being created all of the time out in these other galaxies. So God is the creator. He didn't just create a few thousand years ago. He's still creating now. Because his word, let there be light. His word that word is still going. And that's why the universe is increasing all the time, because God's word is still going out. His creative nature is still at work right now, today. And so things are happening in ways we might not ever see with our naked eye or through a Hubble telescope or whatever. But things, stars, the size that we can't even comprehend, are coming into being now, 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 now. Billions of stars just now, now, now. How big is your God? If God is a star breather, then can he heal your cold? If God is a star breather and he holds the universe in the span of his hand, that's pretty awesome. So if he holds the universe in the span of it, if all this is being created and the Bible says it's in the palm of his hand, how big is God? But yet he talks about you and me being the apple of his eye. So we're going to look at three stories this morning and just look at the nature and the character of God. There's a story in John chapter 8. There's a lady in there. I need a few people to help me this morning. Is that all right? How many of you want to help me? Yeah, you're not kind of, you haven't gone too much into turkey mode and Christmas pudding mode sitting there. How many of you are looking forward to your lunch today? Or have you eaten enough? Well, we've only got through half a Christmas pudding in our house this week, that's all. That's pretty good, isn't it? It was about that big, yeah. But we've only got through half of it. I don't think we've even gone through one carton of custard, have we? That's not bad, is it? Okay. I need some helpers. Is that all right? Can I have a few people to help me? Any age, any size? Dave, look at this. Come on. Anybody want to help Dave?
Come on.
Jerry George. Come on in. A few other people. Any age. The ones screaming out that can't sit still, come and help me. Cool, we've got all of, you know, we've got adults and parents coming out. There's only one younger person. Come on, kids, where are you this morning? Give me a hand. I don't mean give us a clap, but I mean help me out. Brilliant. Okay, you guys better come up on the stage because people can't see you down there. Do you want to come up? You got a crown. Do you want to put your crown on, mate? Obviously not. Brilliant. Now, three stories we're going to look at this morning. And firstly, in John chapter 8, there was a lady who was caught in doing something that she shouldn't have been doing. And as it's a family service, we won't take that any further. And but she was involved in some activity that was not good. And Jesus, who would like to be Jesus? Who do we reckon should be Jesus this morning? I'm humble. That's all right. I'll do it. Okay, brilliant. All right, you can be Jesus. Excellent. Come over here then. And in the middle of the situation, if you guys all want to kind of gather around a little bit, you want to gather around, one or two of you can sit on the edge of the stage and just sort of stand. And Jesus was teaching and people were really grabbed by what he was saying. And in the middle of that, I need a few Pharisees. So not looking at anybody in particular, Pastor Jonathan.
Thank you.
And Pastor Jonathan. And John. You're busy writing there with your head down. I can see you, mate. The Pharisees, they dragged this lady in.
Which one?
Pick a lady.
Small one.
Be gentle. No. Maybe pick one of the lads over there. Well, so we don't embarrass a lady. So while Jesus was teaching, he was interrupted, it said. Just pretend this is a woman, right? And it's a big woman. And And the religious guys, they threw this woman in front of Jesus. And they said, she's been caught doing something she shouldn't be. According to the law, everybody, we should stone her. And everybody's like, whoa, you know. And then they say, what do you say, Jesus?
Stop.
No, he didn't. Just wait for it. What Jesus did in the middle of that situation, he bent down on the ground and started writing in the sand or writing on the ground. And the Pharisees were like, come on, Jesus, come on. What are you going to say? What are you going to do? And then Jesus looks up, stands up, and he says, whoever's without sin, whoever has never sinned, you can throw the first stone. So if you've never done anything wrong, if you've got no sin happening in your life, then you can throw the first stone. And then he bent down on the ground and began to write again.
If you have no sin, you can throw the first stone.
Cool. And gradually the oldest moved away, one by one. You obviously know what's in there already. The oldest gradually moved away. Everybody. Until there was only Jesus and the woman left. And Jesus said to the woman, he said, has anybody condemned you? Has anybody put you down? And she said, no, nobody has. And he said, well, neither do I. But what did he then say? He said, now go and leave your life of sin. So here we have this massive, awesome creator that breathes stars and is still creating now. But yet, he made mankind to have a relationship with him. Man was the apple of his eye. He wanted to have a relationship, and he reveals three aspects of his nature. Hold on. You're not going anywhere, all right? Firstly, he shows mercy. And this year is going to be a year of showing mercy. What did Jesus say? Whoever has not got any sin, you can cast you can throw the first stone. Now, in Christ Jesus, we have been made perfect. All right, so in Christ we're holy. But there's still things in our lives that are probably not right, not sorted, and maybe areas where we still need to have things, you know, God show us areas where we need to get right with him, no matter where we're at with God. Now, that might not be an intentional thing, but you know, when God begins to shine his light, things begin to get exposed. And you thought, wow, I didn't realise I had that attitude. I didn't realise that was what was going on inside me or whatever. And God shows us things. And so this year is going to be a year where we're going to show mercy to people. Because there's not a person in the room here that has the right to point the finger, judge, condemn or criticise anybody else because of whatever else might be happening in their life. So this year's a year of mercy where we're going to be like Jesus, and no matter what people do in front of us, whatever we see, whatever's going on, we're not going to point the finger, judge and criticise. What we're actually going to do is, well, I don't condemn you either. I don't put you down. But what we're going to do is we're going to help people get off the floor, get off the ground of their lives, help them get on their feet, and then actually help them walk with God and move from the mercy of God where they get, you know, forgiven, and then to become, then to live in the grace and the love of God. Okay, so there's one aspect of God's nature that he wants to reveal through us as a people this year, his mercy. Okay, second story in Luke chapter 19. We have, I need some more people to help me. So if you'd all come back, all those that were up here, that'd be brilliant. On your marks, get set, go. The faster you are, the faster we finish. The slower you are, the longer we are this morning. So one or two other people, if you want to just come up and help. Brilliant. Now I need somebody a little bit shorter. Brilliant. What's your name? Sean. Sean the short man. Okay, brilliant. What you got on there? SpongeBob. Cool. Hello, mate. How you doing? Mr. Star Wars. Doing all right. Okay, now, Sean, you can be a guy called Zacchaeus. Okay? Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. What do we say about criticize? Anyway. Zacchaeus was a tax collector and he had loads of money. What do you reckon? Loads of money, big house, all kinds of stuff, okay? But nobody liked him. No. He was a tax collector. Everybody boo him. Nobody liked the tax collector. This is hard work. Anyway, you want to go on that? Okay, just keep an eye on her. Now, this guy's loaded. Now, he heard that Jesus was coming to town. So come over here a minute. Everybody else, can you crowd around Jesus? Just gather around him and just press in around him. They'd heard about Jesus, the things he'd been saying and doing. And Zacchaeus, he'd heard about Jesus, but because he was short, he couldn't see who Jesus was. So he wanted to get a better view of who Jesus was, okay? And so he ran ahead, okay? So he came from over there, ran ahead. Come over here, mate. Just stand on there. It's all right, health and safety. And and he climbed a tree, sycamore tree, because he wanted to have a better view of who Jesus was. Now, come this way, guys. Now, they didn't know what Jesus was going to say next, what he was going to do next, whether he was going to upset somebody, whether he was going to heal somebody, whether somebody was going to get raised from the dead or whatever. They didn't know what was going to happen. But Jesus was the center of attention. But Jesus put everybody else on hold. So just press the pause button. Everybody freeze. Don't move at all. You mustn't move at all for the next 25 minutes, all right? And then Jesus came out of the crowd, came out. No, you're all right. The rest of them. And he came over and he said, hey, Zacchaeus.
Hey, Zacchaeus.
I want to come to your house today.
I want to go to your house.
So Zacchaeus came down from the tree. They went over to Zacchaeus' house. The whole of Zacchaeus' family were there. So all those guys in the front row, quick, as fast as you can, you're his family. A right motley crew. And so they're all at Zacchaeus' house, and Jesus went around there. And it says there that salvation came to his whole household. So it wasn't just Zacchaeus. It says salvation came to the whole household. Everybody that was part of his family came to Jesus. That's brilliant, isn't it? And in the midst of all of that, he had such a heart change that he turned to Jesus and he said, everything that I have taken that I shouldn't have done in terms of taking more taxes and charging people more money and all of that, he says, I'll give back four times more than I have taken. How many of you like tax collectors that get saved?
Yes.
And now, when Jesus went over to the house, the crowd were all like, what's he doing? Where's Jesus going? Because none of the crowd liked the tax collector. But Jesus put his reputation on hold and said, I'm not bothered what people think about me. I'm going to go to this guy's house because he needs to know me. He needs to come into a relationship with me. His whole household need to come into a relationship with me. And so no matter what the people thought, no matter what his reputation was, no matter what the pressure was from the crowd, Jesus left the crowd and just went to the one and said, this one at this moment is more important than what everybody else thinks about me. And so this year is going to be a year where we're going to come into situations where we're going to connect with people, reach people, spend time with people and put everybody else on hold. The busyness of our life, the pressure of what everybody else might say, think or want to do. But there's individuals, there's households that God wants to reach and save this year. There's things in our lives that we need to put on pause and on hold that maybe are crowding around us at the moment and take time and energy and all of that now. And God said, no, pause all of that lot because there's some specific things I want to do through your life that's going to affect more than one, but a whole household. As a result, then there's going to be such a heart change that then these people are going to end up giving back and blessing these people as well. That's pretty awesome. There are people out there that God's going to save this year, completely transform their lives, who are going to end up being a blessing in all kinds of ways to all kinds of people that might already be followers of Jesus. That's going to be pretty awesome. And so people are going to live in the grace of God this year. God giving us everything that we don't deserve. People didn't like Zacchaeus. They said, he's got everything. You know, when God looks at a person, he doesn't look at what's on the around them. chatting to, I think it was Sharon Frood the other day, and she said when she was in South Africa and in the middle of the township and everything, and she'd been in a meeting with some really wealthy people, and then you're in the township of people where they live and some of the practical things, how it looks, and some of the tension you have on the inside of you, and in terms of the poverty, you know, but yet other people living in the richness and they've got everything. And God really spoke to her and said, when I look at people, I don't see what's around them. I see them. I see, look on the inside, and whether there's poverty on the inside or whether they're rich on the inside, that's what I'm looking at. And so whether somebody's surroundings look like poverty or they look very wealthy, God doesn't look around the wealth of their life and say, well, they're doing all right, they're doing wealthy. He looks at them as a person. And so the surroundings disappear and fade away because he looks at what is the state of somebody's heart? What's the state of somebody's life? Are they in line with me or not? And this year is going to be a year where we're not looking at the outward appearance of people's lives and whether their circumstances are very needy or whether their circumstances look very rich and very fortunate in that sense. And we're not going to have preference towards people because anybody that doesn't know Jesus on the inside are in poverty because they don't have the richness of who God is in their life. And so this year, God wants to bring people into his grace this year and give them everything, even though they don't deserve it. Amen. Brilliant. Third story. Just stay there for a moment and we'll make it up as we go along. Third story, which you can probably tell. Third story is a woman who had been sick for 12 years, the Bible said. She had internal sickness and it was getting worse. She spent all her money on the doctors and they treated her and she was still getting worse. And in that society, she was an outcast because of the kind of sickness. That means she couldn't spend time with anybody. She was completely isolated on her own. And if she came out into the public area, then the law of that day said that she had to be stoned because she would make other people unclean. And now she'd heard, this lady heard that Jesus was coming to town. So everybody can be the crowd. Go over there. You can all just all gather around Jesus, okay? Just pack around him. Now Jesus was coming to town. Now she'd obviously heard about Jesus and she just thought, right, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. So Hannah, do you want to come up and give us a hand? Hannah's been this lady who's been sick for 12 years. She's spent all her money. She's an outcast. Nobody can spend time with her. She's not just physically sick, but emotionally she'd be wrecked. Mentally, you know, not being able to contact, relate to anybody for more than 12 years would be enough to do anybody's head in. And yet she's heard about this Jesus. She's heard stories somehow that when they come to this guy, they get healed. Their lives get totally turned around. Now, in the middle of this situation, Jairus, who was the synagogue ruler, he had come to Jesus. So, Dave, you can just be the synagogue ruler. He'd come to Jesus and he said, my daughter is ill and dying. Will you come and just, if you just touch her, she'll be well. And he just said that. And so he was... He began to take Jesus towards his house because he wanted his daughter healed. And over all the crowd were like, what's going to happen? You know, we know about Jairus. He's an important guy in the community and his daughter's sick. Let's see what's going to happen. So they all slowly begin, very, very slowly. All right. And here's this lady. She knows she's an outcast. If she comes into the public area and people recognize, they're going to grab her. They're going to stone her. She's going to lose her life. But the desperation on the inside of her was more at that moment. And the Bible says she pressed through the crowd. She pushed through the crowd and she just grabbed the hold of the hem of Jesus' garment and tugged it. And it says immediately power came out of Jesus and she was healed and made well. But then she hid and Jesus stopped. Now, that moment, imagine being Jairus at that moment. Your daughter's dying and you want to come on, hurry up, Jesus. Yet he stops and he says, who touched me? And everybody around says, well, everybody's touching. Everybody wants a piece of you, Jesus. And he said, no, power's just gone out from me. And he said, and then he looked round and then this woman came before him and she fell on her knees before Jesus because she knew this could be it. If people recognize me, this could be it for me. And so she came to Jesus and said, it was me. And what did Jesus say? I love this. He says, daughter. He doesn't just say woman. You know, who are you? He says, daughter. Because there was something this woman wanted. She wanted, I want this Jesus. I want to be well. I want to be whole. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you well or complete. Because what Jesus does in lives, he doesn't just want to save us from our sin. He wants to make us whole and complete as people in him. And so Jesus said, go, your faith has made you well. Her whole life was completely transformed at that moment. Now, what does she do? She encountered not just the mercy of God and the grace of God, but she encountered the love of God. God's love is unfailing. Even when Jesus was going that way to heal somebody else, Jesus wasn't even looking in her direction. She grabbed hold of him and said, I'm going to pull on this guy. I'm going to receive from this guy. And because God does everything in love, his power was released because she had faith and she received her healing, was made completely whole and well. And so this year, we might be busy. We might be doing stuff. We might be going in this direction. But there's people that are going to pull on God this year. And people are going to interrupt your life and my life this year. And we need to be ready to put what we're doing here on hold. Say, hang on a minute. Somebody just tugged on God for something. But God wants me to be the person that connects with them, helps them, encourages them, prays with them, spends time with them, disciples them, invests in them and gives to them. And this guy Jairus was a little bit, come on, come on, come on. And Jesus was like, it's okay. Don't worry about your daughter. Even though the news on the way was your daughter's died. How did that make Jairus feel? God, Jesus, if you had just came, she would have. And what did Jesus say? Anybody know what Jesus said? Yeah. He said, just believe or only believe. See, what did Jairus say to Jesus at the beginning? He said, if you come and touch my daughter, she will be well. So Jesus was going on that one. Well, that's what he believes. If I touch his daughter, she'll be well. Even though the daughter died, so Jesus went to the house. In the story, he said he went into the room. They threw all the people that were mourning out. And he touched the girl and she came alive. She was made well. You know, God is able to do this, all at the same time in all kinds of different ways. This year is not going to be a year of missing out or missing anything. If stars are being created right now that we'll probably never, ever see, maybe until we are with Jesus, maybe we'll have a tour around the universe. What would that be like? Anyway, just go with me a little bit. Everyone, I will need my turkey, you know. You might have a tour of the universe and we're going to see all the things and they're still going to be creating then. Wow, look at that. And we might sit in our kind of eternal deck chairs, you know, and just watch the heavens being created and God is speaking to me like, whoa, there's another. Whoa, I haven't seen one like that before. I haven't seen one like this before. Well, those colors, never seen those before. Then, I mean, what's it going to be like? We're going to be with God forever and ever and ever. So in our natural minds, we're thinking, what's that going to be like? It's going to be incredible because God is the creator. He's not going to stop being the creator once we're with him. He's going to continue to create for eternity. And so we're going to be amazed for the whole of eternity as we discover more and more and more of who God is. Yet in the majesty of who he is, he says, you're the apple of my eye. I'm a God of mercy, grace and love. I want to reveal who I am into your life, into other people's lives. There's things I want to do today, tomorrow, the next day. There's things God has got planned every day of this year for your life, for my life, for thousands of millions of people's lives out there in 2012. So this year, you know, where there's mercy, grace and love, there is salvation. There is the power of God at work. There is the glory of God being revealed when there is a people of mercy, grace and love. So we're not pointing the finger, criticizing or judging. We're not laying the law down in people's lives. We're here to demonstrate the nature and the character of God in people's lives. So let's all stand together, shall we, this morning. You guys can stay up here for a minute and we'll just all pray together. Because there's things that God wants to do even the next few minutes. If the band can come up, that'd be brilliant. Oops, half of you already up here. It's going to be an awesome year, 2012. Amen. This is a year of no regrets. This is a year of not looking over your shoulder back on stuff that's happened. 2011 has finished. 2010 is history way back. This is a new day. And the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. What does that mean? That means you have a clean start every day of your life. So this morning, we're going to start 2012, bringing our lives, firstly, just under the hand of God and taking hold of that scripture. His mercies on you this morning. So today, I have a clean start. 2011 is over. There are no regrets in my life. This is a new day. Father, we thank You for this new year, this new season. Father, we thank You that the old has gone. We're never going to live 2011 again. It's history now. It's in the history books. Father, we thank You that history is to be written in 2012. And there are things that You have purposed for every day of every one of our lives. If You can create stars right now all over the universe as it's expanding, then You can surely have planned the days of our lives. And I thank You, You only plan for good. You never plan for bad. You only plan to prosper. You only plan for increase. You only plan for expansion and growth in You and everything in our lives. You only plan for the positive because that's who You are. There is no negative in You whatsoever. And Jesus, we just bring our lives right now. Just bring your life under His Lordship right at the beginning of 2012. Father, I thank You that You're Lord of my life today. And I place You as Lord today. I want to walk with You. I want to walk by Your word this year. And I want to walk in the power of Your Spirit this year together. The word and the Spirit working together. I don't want to be duped. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to rush to things that might want to tickle my ears with something that's just going around. No, I want to live according to Your word. I want to live by Your Spirit this year as a man or a woman of integrity. I want to run to You this year and be totally dependent on who You are. There are people here this morning that don't know Jesus, and you this morning have the opportunity to respond to Him, this massive, star-breathing, awesome creator. But yet He's so personal and intimate. No matter what you've done in your life, there is nothing you can do that is beyond God's forgiveness, God's ability to give you a completely new start in your life on the first day of a new year. We're going to take a couple of moments. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, and you want to respond to Him, say, Jesus, I want to begin to discover who You are as the awesome creator, as my creator. I want to know who You are as my Lord. I want to know who You are as my Savior, saving me from an eternity without You and bringing me into relationship with You. I want to know what that's like. I want to know who You are. We're all on a journey of discovering more of who God is. There's not a person in the room that fully knows who God is. But He's revealing more of Himself day by day into our lives. And some of you here this morning, it's the day of your life to step into the beginning of a relationship with God. I just want to encourage you in the next few moments. If you wanted to take that step, I want you to raise one at your right hand. Just raise your hand in the air. I want to pray with you for a moment and just pray something initially. But if your heart's beating and you're like, I want to know this God. I want to know the reality of who He is. I do need peace with God. I want to know that I'm forgiven. I know there's stuff in my life that is not right. I want to be free from that. But more than that, I actually want to know who Jesus is. I want to know You, Jesus. Jesus doesn't just want to free you from something so you're free from it, but you don't want Him. It's all about, actually, I want to know Jesus. I want to know You as the Creator. And He deals with all the stuff that separates you from Him. If that's you this morning, you want to respond to His goodness and His amazing grace and love. Just raise your right hand. What are your hands for, so I can see where you are? I'm just going to take a few moments to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. There's a couple of people. Just be bold. Just raise your hand for a moment so I can see you, and then we're just going to pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for every man, every woman, every child and young person here. Father, you see our hearts. You see what's going on. Father, I just pray for those that have raised their hands right now. Father, I thank you that you just move and work in their hearts right now. If that was you raising your hand, just talk to him and initially just say to Jesus something like, I want to know you. I choose to give my life to you today. I choose to turn away from everything that has separated me from you. I thank you for your mercy, grace and love. And I want to know you as my Lord, as my Savior. I want to serve you for the rest of my days. So Jesus, I want this to be the start of a completely new life with you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your healing grace today, your healing grace this morning. Father, I believe that you said you want to start this year with just being a time of healings and miracles and things happening, that you're going to set the tone of this year today and this week for this year, a year of celebration, a year of encountering you, a year of the supernatural being released amongst us in a greater way and then through our lives. Father, I thank you for your healing grace right now in this room. Somebody who's, you've had a chest infection over the last couple of weeks and God's just healing you and burning that out of your body right now. You've got freedom in your breathing like you haven't had for the last couple of weeks. Father, I thank you for your power at work right now. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you strained your back over the last week or so during the break and God's just relieving you from the pain that's been in your back and has caused you some stress there. Somebody else, you've got a click in your neck and it happened through an accident you had a while ago and you've had restrictions and you've had a click and various sort of strains and pains in your neck. God is healing you right now. Father, I thank you for your healing grace in that person's neck and shoulder, right-hand side, just in here at the base of your neck. God is healing you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Father. Somebody else, you've had an issue with your left elbow and you've in terms of just picking things up and you damaged your elbow a while ago and God's healing you right now so you're going to be able to lift and hold things and carry things evenly instead of having to take the strain with one hand and get others to help you. You're going to be free from that issue right now. Father, I thank you for your healing grace in that elbow right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've had an issue with imbalance in your body and you keep having dizzy spells and you've actually fallen over a couple of times as a result of that and it suddenly hits you and you just get really dizzy and something with your equilibrium has not been right in your body. Well, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to do and he's doing it right now. So Father, I thank you for your healing grace in that lady's body right now, that those dizzy spells stop in the name of Jesus, that from this moment onwards her equilibrium is going to work and function properly in her body, in her life right now. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Father. How big is your God this year? Is he big?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.